Have you imagined what it would be like to have a place that really reflects your sense of style and beauty, a place where you're really productive and you're creative and you just love being in there? I'm Carol Heider, and I'm going to talk to you about some ways to incorporate the power of feng shui. With the pace of life these days, a lot of people are looking for ways to manage the pressure and to do their job. And they're looking for ways to help them do that. And a lot of people are turning toward feng shui. Feng shui is like the art and the science of placement. It is a Chinese philosophy, and it's based on the premise that your space reflects your life. So if your desk is cluttered, there may be a corresponding clutter somewhere else in your life, your schedule or your thoughts. If your office just feels out of control, which is something I hear people say a lot, chances are there's something else out of control in your life, some situation or your own agenda at home. So feng shui proposes that by changing your outer environment, you can influence your inner one. You can influence other aspects of your life that are not related to that. And there appears to be a gap in logic between taking some action in your space and then positively influencing your life. But feng shui nevertheless adheres to this belief. Its legacy is about 4,000, some people say 6,000 years old. It began in China as a method for determining proper burial placement for families, ancestors. It's evolved now to what it is today, which is a means to bring harmony and balance through the metaphor of spatial context. So why would somebody use feng shui in an office? Well, yes, if they need to, they feel like they're out of control, if they feel cluttered in their life, if they're starting a business, if they're changing a business, if they feel like their business is in a rut, they want more money, they want more satisfaction, they just want more juice around their job. So there's many reasons that feng shui could be brought into play. And I will tell you, I'm going to give you a lot of tips during this recording, but the number one issue that I find that really overarches everything is clutter. The issue with clutter is it overwhelms people. And when you're overwhelmed, people tend to be unproductive and inefficient. And if they aren't, they're having to expend a lot of energy so they aren't unproductive and inefficient. And then they're tired. Sometimes the clutter is just downright frightening. And it takes a lot of forms. It takes clutter can be, we recognize a lot of chaos, piles of things out of order. That's an obvious form of clutter. Something broken is an obvious form of clutter. But something could be broken and it looks okay, like a chair. And then when you go to sit in it, the chair isn't working. You find that out. Too many things that you no longer use. Too many things that you no longer like. Now, these things may be beautiful, they may be attractive, but you no longer like it. And so that gets to be, that's a form of clutter. And I'm going to be giving you three ways to deal with clutter here in a moment. But one of the things to understand about clutter is clutter usually, it lands on horizontal surfaces. It lands on your desk, it lands on shelving, credenzas, floor. Horizontal surfaces attract clutter, and a lot of times corners will attract clutter. There's like little magnets that get put there, and clutter gets sucked in. But the thing is that as each horizontal space in your office gets filled and stacked, you become less and less creative. Your horizontal spaces limit your horizons. And so your horizons become smaller and smaller. And so does your opinion about your job. It becomes less and less important or less and less effective because your vision is only going to be as big as these horizontal surfaces. So obviously it pays to keep it open and clear as much as possible. There's a couple of reasons why clutter happens in the first place. One is there's not enough time to deal with it. I'm going to give you a tip about that. a couple tips about that. The other is sometimes there just isn't enough storage. And so the stuff just has to go somewhere. And maybe some really valuable papers are sitting around in a pile of clutter. I mean, that can happen. And what I suggest to people is before they go, oh, I need to buy another shelf. I need to buy another cabinet. I need more files. I need more. I will tell you without fail when I have said, no, you don't get to do that. You get to go and look at what you already have, what is in those file drawers, what is on those bookshelves, what are in those cabinets, what's in there, and see if there's things you no longer need. And it's uncanny the number of times people will do it while I'm still there saying, oh, yeah, right, well, these are all dead files. You know, something dead, you don't want that in your office. These are all people who I no longer know. I don't have any contact with them. This is a class I'll never teach, or if I do, I'll teach it different. You know, that's old. That's clutter. And by removing it, you can then have more room. And some of that clutter that's on the floor, that's on your desk, that's on the credenza can now find its place. Because a lot of times clutter is basically stuff that has no home. So I'm going to give you three ways to deal with clutter right now. And I'm going to do them according to how much time they take, with the first one taking the most time and the last one taking the least amount of time. So the first one is to look on your calendar. Let me first preface this by saying I'm going to be using the number 9 in these next two exercises. And that is because in Chinese numerology, the number 9 is very auspicious. And so you want to have that 9 as part of your process. So you want to take 9 days, mark them off on your calendar, 9 consecutive days, and you want to have block off 9 minutes. And they don't have to be the same time each day, although if they are, it does help with this process. And for 9 minutes a day, you're going to declutter. Now, two things happen with this. One is you have to be specific. I mean, you have to set a timer. Don't just go, okay, I'll watch the clock, and then suddenly a half hour has gone by, and then you're mad because you really didn't plan that. Get a timer, an egg timer, put it on your phone, have somebody call you in 9 minutes. Do something so in 9 minutes, the bell goes off, and you drop what you're doing. The reason that you want to, so that's number one, is get it contained. And then the second reason that you do 9 minutes is that you end up creating a habit. That's really the thing that's the most important thing that's happening. If you do 9 minutes a day for 9 days, you'll be amazed. That, I mean, it sounds inconsequential right now. Like 9 minutes, what can I do? Well, if you're focused, you can do a lot. Even if you aren't focused, you've got the next day and the next day. And I always find that people say, well, I re-upped for another 9 days. I'm going to do it 18 days now because I'm kind of enjoying it. It's doable. It's manageable. And you will see some results. Okay, that's number one, 9 minutes a day for 9 days. The second one is to deal with 9 items a day. So this doesn't mean you necessarily have to throw anything out. It doesn't mean that you have to spend 9 minutes because this is the one I do. I do this one a lot. Because it doesn't take much time, like 9 things on my desk. I'll come in and I'll go, wow, look at what's happened in here. And I'll just pick up the first piece of paper and go, what am I supposed to do with this? Oh, yeah, this is a bill I have to pay. I just sit down, write the bill, be done with it. I might pick up the next one. It's a phone number. And I go, oh, I got to log that into my contact list on my phone. I got that. All right. The third one. And all of a sudden, nine things are done. Sometimes it's a piece of paper and I'll go, I'll never read this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to throw it out. That's another way to do it. So it's nine items a day. Deal with them. The third and final thing, and this one I love, and I continue to do this, and you're going to say, oh, I'll run out of things. No, you won't. Throw out one thing a day. One thing a day. Every day before you leave, you throw out, you might be end up throwing out lots of stuff, but if you haven't thought you've thrown anything away, throw something out. Now, this isn't going to be the normal run-of-the-course things, like you get mail and you throw that out. This has to be something that you go and get specifically to throw out. Like, for instance, I have done this. I've been actually culling through a lot of old classes that I taught in the very beginning when I was starting out feng shui. Well, I'll never teach that again, nor will I teach it like that, because I have totally changed my approach. I throw the whole file out, and that's one thing. And I might keep the empty file as sort of a, you know, ecological move and then reuse it, but I've thrown out all the paper. I browse through it, see if there's anything of value I can stick somewhere else, but I throw that out. Sometimes it's like I throw out, an article I was going to read. I've been planning to read that for like 3 months, probably not going to get to it. I throw that out. So it's something that stretches me a little bit. It isn't like, oh, the mail came and I got three things I don't need. I'll just throw one today and one tomorrow. And, you know, that's kind of cheating. You wouldn't do that. So you want to have a way to really manage the stuff, I guess is the way to say it. Have a way to make sure that you're in control here, that your things aren't going to bury you. So clutter is a big thing. Another issue here is the desk position. And this can happen when a person is seated with their back to the door. And what it sets up is a pattern, a feng shui pattern that says you've turned your back on the world. You no longer know what's going on. Things can come along and take you by surprise. Now, someone could startle you. Absolutely. Somebody could just come right along. That is a one thing that could happen. Somebody, and it might even be your dog. It might even be your cat who tiptoes in and suddenly, you know, jumps up on your lap and you didn't hear them coming. Is this counterproductive? And it's disruptive. So, and it could be even things like you're caught off guard at work, with your job, with one of your people in your work. It could be you didn't anticipate a health crisis. You didn't anticipate a relationship issue. You didn't anticipate one of your kids doing something. I mean, this is the pattern. It's a potential pattern. It doesn't say it's going to happen, but there's a potential here. You have really turned your back on the world and sort of didn't want to look. Now, to turn the desk around is easy for me to say. It's not always easy to do. I realize that. So if you cannot, and I say cannot, I'm not saying if you don't wanna. I'm saying if you cannot. And that would mean it's built in. It would mean it's the wiring is just making it entirely impossible. Then get a little what I call rear view mirror. And so it's a little mirror that is on the wall in front of you or on some part of your desk. So when you look in the mirror, you can see the door. You can see the entry door. And that will give you a sense of, is somebody coming in? And that's really all you need, is just, is somebody coming in? So you're prepared. The other thing along that same line is having a high back chair. This is a message about feeling empowered, making good decisions, and feeling supported. This is a chair that you should love. It should be comfortable. It should have arms. Your head should rest on a headrest, and it should move around with wheels. You know, if you ever seen any movies with the CEO, I'm just thinking of the Prada with Meryl Streep. I've lost the name of that title, that movie. But look at her. I mean, she's facing the door. I mean, she, you know, be a CEO in your company. that's really what you want to do, is be the CEO. And they won't sit on a little dinky chair. They will sit on a nice, tall, executive chair. So besides the clutter, the desk, the chair, I'm going to give you 6 tips that are quick tips here that will get you going with incorporating feng shui into your office. Number one, clear your desk when you leave for the day. All right, so we're all about clearing stuff, as you can tell. But you see, when people say, I think I've lost my vision, or I'm not creative anymore, here it is, back to that whole idea of your clutter, your stuff is burying you. It's closing down. It's clamping down on that spirit of yours. So it's important that you do it right before you leave. Now, this can be that you put it in a file. You maybe have a file for the end of the day stuff. You put it all in the file and it goes in a drawer. It may be a decorative box. This is my favorite and I love this, and this is one I do. I just gather it all together, throw it in the box. And a box has a lid. It's something you get at a Michaels or a Joann Fabric or something, where it's beautiful, it's attractive, and it holds my stuff. The importance about this is that when you walk in the morning, you are in control of that job, not the other way around. You have just controlled all the stuff and not have the stuff control you. And that is a huge message. Huge message. Takes not even a minute to do. Number two, limit the number of photos in your space. Now, having 1 or 2 family photos or pictures of a great vacation, they're inspiring and they do offer a nice balance to your work. But having too many gives you, starts to look like clutter. And it also gives the impression you'd rather just be somewhere else. So my suggestion is always to pick 1 or 2 that you really love and then have them there. And you can relish the memories. You can relish the moment. And then when they become like ho-hum, or you really don't even see them anymore, then trade them out and have something else that you're inspired about. Number 3, don't eat at your desk. You won't do either thing well. You won't work well and you won't eat well. And plus, there's a big possibility something could happen and a spill could wipe out your computer or a bunch of papers. The more importantly, it's a chance for you to move away, to get away, to take a breath, because you'll come back feeling better. You'll come back more inspired, and you'll make up for the fact that, if I work through lunch, I'll get more done, because that usually doesn't happen very well. Number 4, have some aspect of nature in your space. Now, the thing about nature is it's a reminder about flow, about breathing, about beauty, about freedom. And so some token of nature can be flowers, it can be silk flowers, it could be a plant, it could be a silk plant. And if you don't have a window, this is even more important that you have some aspect of nature in your space. And at the very least, have a picture of a landscape, picture of flowers, picture of trees, so that you've got something here that you can be inspired by. Number 5, it's kind of a two-part. Keep your clocks on time and your trash emptied. Now, both of these are reminders about staying current and in the present moment. So if the clock isn't keeping up with you, You may even say things like, I can't keep up, my timing is off, it feels like I'm late for everything. You know, that clock, either replace it or fix it, because it's not doing you any favors. And the trash is filled with old, useless information that you no longer need. So make sure it just keeps getting emptied. It doesn't have to be every night, unless it's really getting full. And then I would say every night, just walk out of there and empty that trash can. But if it's just a few things, just don't want it overflowing with stuff. And then finally, number 6 is keep tall things to a minimum in your office. And this would be like bookcases, file cabinets, shelving units, armoire things. And the reason for this is that they're tall. And when you're sitting, you're even shorter than when you're standing. And so if you hear yourself saying things like, oh, I'm overwhelmed, I can't get my head above water, we say that a lot, I'm drowning, that can all be altered by looking around to see, do I have a lot, am I looking up all the time? Am I just having to look up at stuff all the time? And the more you look up, the less important you are, because you're feeling small and insignificant. Now, I also know, and being in a small office myself, that vertical storage is really valuable. So manage it, you know, put doors on your bookcases or make sure that the shelves on your bookshelf are maybe eye candy. Maybe that's where your family photo is and there's some flowers and there's a sculptural piece. And then as it goes down lower, it becomes the heavy duty things that you use for your work. It's just an important thing about what does your eye see when you stand up, and is there enough breathing room in your space? So let your office work for you and let your office play for you. Select a couple of these tips and implement them in some way and just start seeing the flow happen. And you'll gain some momentum both outside in the space and inside within your own internal life. Blessings to all.